I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Rome and Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, allaussieradio.com.au.
Now syndicated too.
Backwater Country, 87.6 FM.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
At 9 p.m.
All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, because school holidays are just around the corner.
Yes, they are.
We're going to be starting with Stony Aquil Park at Port Macquarie.
Oh, interesting. Yes.
Look, fabulous place if you're into your water sports and also a great place to stay.
Yes, so that you can take your caravan there, and they've also got some cabins and, yeah, it is a great place, and it's only 15-minute drive for into Port Macquarie.
Absolutely, and the best thing is for you caravaners, all the sites are drive-through.
Yes, they are.
Makes our job easier. Straight after that, Lynn, I'll be chatting with Jason Stanley, who is a mechanic/driver at Trangie, and he works for a company called Inland Petroleum.
Right, yes, we interviewed the major sponsor last week.
Yes, we did. And the interesting thing is that Jason's got a lot of things, a lot of tips for the caravanners who think they could be doing the right thing.
But they're actually probably doing the wrong thing.
And putting themselves in harm as well when they've got these big rigs travelling behind them, especially this one Jason drives, 90 ton.
I know, it's huge, and 30 metres long.
It is a monster. And straight after that, listeners, I'm going to be chatting with Jeff Diaf. Now, Jeff's the regular on the program, and his subject is weight.
Snowball weight.
Well, anything to do with weight. This particular episode, though, Jeff's talking about tow ball weight at Tear. Now, apart from all of these fabulous chats, we've also got a great selection of music as requested by the people we interview. So what do you reckon, Lynn?
On with the show.
And today we are chatting with Anissa and Jason from the Aqua Park in Port Macquarie. Now, what's the actual name of the Aqua Park?
Stony Aqua Park.
Stony Aqua Park. Fantastic. Well, there you go, listeners. And it is a must-see place if you're travelling through. Now, tell us all about the Aqua Park. Jason, maybe you'd like to start?
Yeah, we installed the Aqua Park 5 years ago. And we're looking just for a different type of business attraction to have on the property along with our water skiing. And we describe ourselves as a holiday park with a water sports theme. We're adjacent to the Wilson River as well, but the Aqua Park is a fully inflatable obstacle track that they climb up on, and there's wobble boards and balance beams, and there's swings and jumping pillows, and there's over 150 different items you can climb across, and it all interchanges onto each other, so you can spend hours out there climbing around and racing each other around there and having fun.
So is this just for kids, or can the adults do it as well?
Absolutely not. It's for everyone. And you know what? The adults end up having just as much or sometimes more fun than the kids, because they all go out there generally as a family unit, and they run around, chase each other, and it's just a great way to spend a nice sunny day, warm weather, and great exercise too. That's the one thing the parents say, we can't believe how exhausting that was, and we're going to be sore tomorrow. But the great thing they say is that the kids are in bed by 6 o'clock, asleep by 6 o'clock that night. Anyway, they're that exhausted.
Well, that's a bonus. The idea is to get the kids wrecked so the parents can just sit back, chill and relax. So tell us, Anissa, how long has the park been here?
The park's actually been here for coming on 20 years now.
Okay.
We initially built it as a water ski lakes. It was fundamentally came about by my brother, actually. He was overseas and came up with the concept as he was represented Australia in the water ski.
That's this brother?
Yeah, this brother. I've only got one. And so he came up with the concept with water skiing and represent Australia and water skiing and on the world top, in the world. So we built the lakes with a tournament theme, tournament skiing, and so we're two man-made lakes here.
Wow.
And so since then we've still got a water ski school on the back lake, and then we've diversified the front lake to the aqua park, and soon to be we'll have an action park as well.
Sensational idea. Now, this is a little bit of a hidden gem, I must confess, okay, because I had no idea that this aquapark actually has camping and caravan facilities as well.
Mm.
So it's not just a day visitor for people travelling through the area. They can actually stay here. So tell us a little bit about that, Jason.
Yeah, well, we put a fair bit of consideration into the location when we were researching where to man-made build the lakes. We needed obviously X amount size of property to be able to do it on.
Mm-hmm.
So we found this beautiful little part of the world halfway between Brisbane and Sydney. And,
yes.
And we're right next to the river and we're only a couple of k's of crow flies from the beach. So we built the lakes and... yeah, like I said, we've been operational, you know, from there. But yeah,
it's a sensational location because you're only about 15 minutes from Port Macquarie as well.
Yeah,
which is a big bustling holiday town normally, and it will be at Christmas, I'm sure. Once we're on the holidays again, what about your facilities? How many campsites and powered caravan sites do you actually have available?
Mm.
Anissa?
Yeah, look, as far as camping, we've got numerous, you know, unlimited.
Okay.
So people are allowed to actually camp right around the lake. Mm-hmm. We don't have designated areas, so it's people really love that idea, that concept, so you're not sort of married into certain areas.
Yeah,
yeah. There's powered sites, there's 30 powered sites, and there's... 8 cabins ranging from bunkhouse style right up to deluxe villas, fully self-contained. So there's quite a variety. It meets you know, everyone's needs. People come here as, you know, family reunions or you know, young people just come here to, you know, camp and get away.
Sensational idea. Yeah. So you don't actually say there's your spot there. If they want to camp, they can just in you go, find where the view you like, set up camp, and that's it.
That's right.
Great stuff.
I noticed your caravan sites too are all drive-throughs, which is what a lot of people like.
Yeah, nice and large. Simple. Yes.
Can I ask? Because I'm not sure. Is it a pet-friendly park or not?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It is. Yes. Which is another bonus because how many people now travel with pets?
And we even say the lake's right there. We've got plenty of room around the embankment of the lake for them to run around. Nice green grass, all landscaped, and then they can take us dogs and the family can take a swim in the lake. It's all at the same time.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Now, what's this action park that's coming soon? Yeah. What does that involve?
Well, it's the same concept as far as it's an inflatable ninja-style obstacle track which runs over 350 metres of obstacle running track.
Wow.
And same thing, a lot of balancing. There's a lot more interactive things where your friends get to swing like big, like Wipeout and that things. They swing big balls at each other and they knock each other off balance beams and... It stemmed from the aquapark is seasonal, so Easter's our last big hurrah for the season, and then we pack it all down and wash it and put it away for the winter, where this will operate 12 months of the year. So it's, and
it'll go at night time too, so we'll be able to run under lights.
We've got it all set up under lights and speakers. Under lights. And so
music playing, music so party.
And, and it's great for the schools too, because both the parks, or never already said in the concept that we've spoken about there, they'll happily support it like they do with the aquapark, bring coach loads of kids out midweek, and it's a great way for the schools to get their kids out, you know. And again, it's and the beauty about it's not skill driven. You don't have to be a certain skill set or a certain athleticism or a certain strength. Anyone can go on it and go have just as much fun on it, run around. If you don't feel like going over something or you think that's too hard, just go around it and go to the next thing and away you go.
So this doesn't involve water?
No, this is probably that's the most important part. It's on the land. So it's a land-based obstacle park.
That's my sort then.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Some people don't like swimming or are a bit nervous about water. And this is just from all the last four years, with the feedback we've been getting, oh, this would be great if we had something similar on the banks, so we didn't have to get wet or cold. And so then we finally, we outsourced a place that does it. And we went, okay, let's apply it to the general public and the local community.
Oh, good.
So when you say soon, soon to open, when are you expecting that attraction to be running by Christmas time?
Absolutely. Probably by the end of the month, it'll be all up and operational.
Okay.
And then we'll put the finishing trims on it, fences and bits and pieces, tables and chairs and other barbecue facilities and things like that around it. But it'll definitely be operational by the start of the school holidays. Started
school holidays. Mm. Great.
So things are going to start picking up now.
Yeah.
So, you know, are you, what, 7 days a week or just on the weekends or...?
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, look, we'll definitely be 7 days a week. The schools will kick in November.
Yep.
So, yeah, we start turning into 7 days a week from there. So.
Oh, okay. Good.
Okay.
Because I noticed driving in, you signed, you booked out for the weekend.
We've still got availability for the aqua park on the weekend, but, yeah, we
some
are.
Some of the sessions are.
Yeah, yeah, some of the yeah. sessions are booked out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So how does the aqua park work? You said sessions. Do you book a block of 2 hours, 4 hours? How does it work?
Yeah, so they run on the hour every hour. So okay. our first session starts at 10 a.m.
Yes.
And they run on the hour each hour through till our last session starts at 4 during the summer. At the moment it's 2, mm-hmm. 2 p.m. But they're a 50-minute session, so they'll run at 10 to 10:50. You'll hear a big siren go off.
Yes.
And then we've got 10 minutes to get that all that group off, and then the next big group that are waiting to go on for the 11 o'clock session or the 12 o'clock, we get them off. Or you can still, if you want to do a double session, all you need to do is show your wristband, you've already been on one, so you get the second session discounted.
Okay.
So the first session is $20, the second session is discounted to $15.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you wanted to do an all-dayer, you can they're $55 and you can go every session unlimited all through the day.
Wow.
But the great thing about that is, customers can go, or tourists in town can go, do you feel like going out there? Oh, let's have some lunch and then go out. Or because they start every hour, they haven't missed the boat, so to speak, and
mm-hmm.
no rush. And if they do find that one session's a bit busy and they want to go on the second one or have a break in between, yeah, they can separate them. They don't have to do back-to-back sessions or anything, have lunch in between or whichever way. So it's a nice, flexible way to operate it.
So what about people that are staying here? Like if they camp or caravan and spend a day or two, are there additional charges to use these facilities or is it one charge if you're staying here? How does that work?
Yeah, look, we do offer packages and discounts for sure. So we do, Simone does, our manager does package it all up and offer really good discounts. So, yeah, it just, it works in really well.
Works in well, yeah. Hmm. I like the idea of this. You can go on the dry land, and I'll go on the man-made lake with no sharks.
No sharks.
No sharks.
And the great thing is, we have lifeguards out there, stationed out there. They're trained lifeguards to keep an eye on everyone. Everyone has to mandatory have to wear a life jacket, which is all professionally fitted.
Yep.
At the time, we have a safety speech and a safety brief before that group goes out.
Okay.
And then the staff keep an eye on, help any of the little kids that have maybe. Struggling a bit if they're trying to get up on the gear or some older people that might have run out of puff. So who knows, at the end of the session, they just usher them all off and get the next group ready. So it's a very safe, safety-orientated setup as well, which is great. Lets the parents relax.
And how deep is the water?
I was going to ask
that. 2 metres deep through the middle.
Okay, yep.
So I'm telling you, it's all fresh rain catchment because it's all been man-made.
Mm-hmm.
We're not physically connected to the river.
Yeah.
So we rely on the rain catchment. Right. We can pump from the river if we need to, we generally like the nice clean
rain
water. Catchment water. And it's beautiful fresh water. We have it monitored by council and do all our proper council regulations and
there's a big filtration system right through the whole lake, so it's constantly aerated and so it's always clean.
It's always clean and fresh water.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
I like the idea of this.
This is great.
Yeah, it's sensational.
And we'll be able to throw a jacket on both of you guys as soon as we're finished here.
Oh,
take you over there. What do you reckon?
Oh, roll that for me. No, glasses.
You can give us a demonstration, Jason, and I'll follow you. So, most importantly, whereabouts are you guys located and how do they go about making bookings if they want to stay here or if they just want to come through as a day visitor? What's the easiest way to find you?
Probably the easiest way is just to jump straight onto our website. You
can
even make a booking through our website on Fair Harbour, but it's you can just turn up as well.
Yes.
Through just stonypark.com.au is the easiest way, and then our website's got all the information and they certainly can call us as well.
And that's got all the different attractions under that one main stonypark.com.au website.
Yep.
So you can click on to the action park, click on to the aqua park, click on to the holiday park or ski school bookings, water ski bookings, and you can navigate your way nice and easy through that, and our lovely office manager Simone gets straight back to them and books them in.
Oh, fantastic. Wonderful!
Customises their package.
Sounds sounds great. We might have to bring the van up here.
I think we will. It's dog friendly, so we can bring our little four-legged fur baby, and you can learn how to do things in the water.
Yeah. And the other thing too, Phil, is we're across from the Wilsons River adjacent to that, so people can bring their boats up and go fishing or skiing on the river if they want to.
They don't have to go to come in our gates. They don't have to have to take part in any of our if they want to just pitch a tent and take their own boat and fish on the river, they're welcome to come and go as they please. Same with like the aqua park and all and the water ski lake as well there, and same will be with the action park, is the general public can come in for free. We don't charge for people to come and sit on the bank and watch, or if some parents are a little nervous about seeing what happens before they make they buy tickets for their kids, they can check it all out. We've got a complimentary kids zone, a pool, like a pool dot noodled off area, a beach area where it's only shallow and a couple little baby slides.
Okay.
So the parents with a little tiny tots, the 2 year olds that aren't quite old enough to go on the big park, they just take them out and let them slide down the baby slides, and and general public, friends and families and boyfriends, girlfriends, and they can all sit on the bank who don't want to go on and just sunbake watch. And then it's all free.
For a swim or take the kids out.
Oh, great.
Unbelievable. Oh, and all these facilities, barbecues.
Yeah, we've got coin-operated barbecues and a gazebo over there.
Yeah.
And, we've got a party room as well, which you can privately book out if you want to for kids' parties or corporate parties and business Christmas work parties, things like that.
Mm.
Sensational idea. And I like the idea that you've got your own facilities like caravanning, camping. I didn't know. And this, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people interested in this particular place. And being pet-friendly. I think that's an excellent idea.
Short 15 minutes to port.
15 minutes to port, which has got everything you need. Major shops and movie theatre and all that stuff. And great location.
Wonderful, yes.
Anything else, Lynn, you might like to add? I didn't even realise you were going to chat on this one. I'm glad you joined in. Thanks so much, guys. This is Anessa and Jason, brother and sister, and they are the owners and the...
operators of Stony Aqua Park.
Operators.
Stony Holiday Park.
Stony Aqua Park Holiday Park here in Port Macquarie. Thank you so much for chatting with us today. Now, thanks before we end up... I've got to play a song for you, and it has to be Aussie because it's Roman Oz is the name of the program. Favourite band, favourite song, Jason, Anissa?
I think Goanna by Solid Rock.
I agree.
Solid Rock by Goanna.
Yep.
That's it. That's a cracker. Yep.
That is an appropriate song because the place is called Stony East. There's a message in that, listeners. All right, stick around for Goanna's Solid Rock. We'll be back with more Roaming Oz straight after that.
Now, you're standing on the side. some run light.
Listeners, this is Phil C, and the program you've just joined us with is Roaming Oz. And today we're in Trangie at the Truck and Tractor Show, and I'm chatting with Jason Stanley. Now, he's a mechanic slash driver for Inland Petroleum. How are you going today, Jason?
Going well. Starting to dry out a bit now the rain's eased up.
Well, that's a fabulous thing, although I understand a lot of the people out here need the rain.
They do, yeah.
They do. It's been a bit dry, but you've had quite a bit of rain leading up to this truck festival. We were a bit worried it wasn't going to go ahead.
Yes.
Gladly, it has gone ahead. And unfortunately for you, you're now on the radio with me. And you're going to be talking to me all about this A-double 30-metre 90-tonne truck. Now, this thing carries fuel.
Fuel, yes.
Okay. Yep. So tell us a few things about the truck. First of all, You've driven it a few times, 90 tonne. What does it feel like?
It's just like driving a car.
Really?
Yeah.
You're serious?
It's literally just driving a car.
Big car, big station wagon.
Big, yeah.
Wow, okay. So is there anything special that you need? Obviously, it's 90 tonne, it's 30 metres long, so obviously it's not quite like driving a car.
No, definitely.
You need
not
a bit more room when you're turning and so on and so forth.
Yep.
But what about when you're out in the open road and you're climbing up and down hills? I mean, how many gears has this thing got?
It's 18 speed.
18 speed.
So you've got to know when to pick them.
You've got to know when to pick them.
Okay. Yeah.
You're making it sound easy, Jason, but it's not really easy, is it?
No, it's not.
There's an art.
A bit more to it,
There's a bit more to it. I mean, I do really, really respect the guys that drive these things because it's not... I mean, I have a heavy rigid license and there's no way would I want to just jump in that and say, oh, it's just a bigger car than the last one.
Definitely can't take it for granted, that's for sure.
No. So, tell us about the truck. Like, it's an extremely sophisticated vehicle, isn't it?
So, the truck itself's a 610 Kenworth.
Right.
So, we've got three or four of them now in the fleet.
Yep.
This one here is set up specifically for towing this rig.
Okay.
So, it's got bigger diff gears for the extra weight, so there's not much load on the truck itself.
Okay.
Uphills the breeze with the ratio that's been set with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it... Yeah, cruise along quite well along the highway.
So 90 tonne, it doesn't deter it at all. It just sees a hill and says, see you later, alligator.
Pick the right gear and it just pulls.
So how do you know what gear to pick? Obviously...
Based on your revs.
Okay.
Obviously, if you're empty, you're going to be in a high gear.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much just don't rush it.
Just don't rush it.
Yeah.
So is it the sort of gearbox that if you don't know what you... Do you have to double shuffle in these guys? Is it the sort of thing that's...
So it depends what your driving preference is. Like, only time I use the clutch is to take off. Some guys do double clutch, some guys don't. So, it's just a matter about picking your revs and making sure you're in the right gear.
So you don't use the clutch at all except to move the truck?
Except to take off,
And the rest of it, you're just looking at the tacho, listening to the motor and changing through the gears?
Yep, that's
fabulous.
It.
Now, that's an art in itself.
It is. Don't worry. If someone says they don't grind a gear, they're lying.
And
we still do.
You've grinded it. I won't tell your boss because I understand that, Jason, is over $1 million, that truck.
It is. That set up there, yes, it is. Yeah.
So what happens if you grind a few gears? Because you are the mechanic. Do you have to pull the thing apart and start fixing it?
No, we've got a couple of the line haul trucks that were third gear starting to wear out. So.
Okay.
New gearbox and clutch goes in and Away we go again.
Away we go again.
Yeah, and so obviously everything wears out, but
Okay.
No, the guys are pretty good on it that drive it. So
they know what they're doing. Obviously, you know what you're doing. Do you prefer to drive it or do you prefer to fix it? You're a mechanic slash driver. What's your preference?
It's good to have the variety, but mainly fixing them.
But when you drive it, it's like, how often do you drive it? Once a week, once a month?
It depends. Okay. At the moment, we've had a few blokes away, so it could be during the week, could be on the weekends, but mainly it's probably every 2 or 3 weeks. I'll get in it for a weekend trip, you know, the Newcastle or up to Erromanga.
Yes.
You know, up north into Queensland, so a couple of day trip, that one.
Right. So it's not like, geez, I haven't driven this for 2 weeks. You just jump in it like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Nothing to think about.
Yeah, muscle memory, just straight back into
it. Just happens automatically. Yeah. Yeah. So as a driver of a huge rig, and 90 ton, 30 metres, it's a big unit.
It is.
Have you had any sort of experiences? Because we do get a lot of listeners that do caravanning and camping, camper motorhomes and so on and so forth. Have you ever sort of been in a situation, you know, where you think, what is this guy doing? Or
I have had a few. Probably one of the worst ones is just suddenly stopping and pulling off the side of the road.
Okay.
Instead of just maintaining the pace and waiting for a safe spot, they're literally seeing like an entrance to a property and just wheeled off. Like, you got to brake, especially with other cars coming the other way.
Okay.
It's been quite hairy.
Okay, so they think they're doing you a favour. They think, oh, this poor guy, he's time's money, I'm slowing him down. Oh, there's a spot, and they pull straight off.
Yeah.
And that's the worst thing they can do.
One of the worst so far.
Yep.
I have had another truck try and side swap me, but just not watching what he was doing and pulled into overtaking lane a bit too early and clipped the front of me bull bar. So that was interesting. That was early in my driving career, but
So that was obviously not intentional. Do you think he did that to give you a bit of a?
Well, he didn't pull over or call me up on the two-way, so it was probably a bit of 50-50. Yeah.
So there's a bit of truck rivalry out there.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
So.
Wow. And that's an extremely dangerous thing to do.
Very dangerous.
Especially if he clipped your bar, my goodness.
Yes.
Wow.
So luckily we're only going slow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So any funny incidences that you've seen? Do you ever get on the radio and say, hey, mate, what are you doing? Like,
I have. Coming back through the Pilliga, I've had one fellow, he repetitively called up, no tail lights at all. So
caravan or the truck, or what was he doing?
So he was a B-double.
Okay.
His light lead wasn't even plugged into his trailers.
Oh, wow.
So called up many times, ended up calling the cops and they pulled him up as he was coming into a town.
Okay.
So, not cool. So
he sort of obviously didn't do that intentionally. Would he have picked up the truck that way, do you think? Because they do changeovers.
They do changeovers. I'm just lazy.
I'm lazy?
Just lazy, yeah. He got told heaps of times plenty of opportunities to pull over in rest bays, but didn't do it.
And he would have heard you on the radio for sure.
Oh, yeah, because I deliberately had my high beam on and he called me up. So he knew.
Okay.
So wasn't ideal, especially at night time. You know, you need all the lights you got to let you know where you're at. So
have you got any tips for a lot of our listeners? 90% of our listeners are people that drive caravans and motorhomes and so on and so forth. Any tips as a professional driver of a vehicle that weighs 90 ton? Anything that you might like to say to them? Obviously, we're not here to pick on people because I drive a caravan myself. But to just say, you know, like that one, for example, pulling straight over on the dirt.
Maybe
a lot of people are not aware of that.
They're not ideal.
Okay,
no,
so that's a bad one. So what other things would you suggest?
If you've got a heavy vehicle coming up behind you, either maintain your speed or, pick it up a couple of Ks until there is an opportunity for a safe overtake. And then, if you've got a two-way, call them up, let them know. And then if it's safe, let them round. But, don't slow down. Is the biggest thing. Don't slow down.
Okay.
Keep going your pace or just pick it up a little bit until they're around you and then just let them on their way. Like, it's not going to slow them up for long, whether it be 5, 10 Ks, but rather get around you safe and and make sure you get to where you're going, or everyone gets to where they're going.
Yep.
It's probably the biggest thing.
So what's an ideal speed? Because in a rig like that, you're restricted to 100 km.
So in a road train,
yes,
you're limited to 90.
Okay. So in that scenario, then you're limited to 90. So what would be an ideal speed for the guy in front of you? Because if you can only do 90 and he's doing 90, you're never going to get round the guy, are you?
No, well, that's it. Same thing, pick your safe speed. If you're comfortable doing that, we're going to get around you eventually. It's just a safe spot to do it.
So. Otherwise, maybe slow down a little bit then. To allow you,
yeah. Especially,
but not just slam the brakes on, slowly, just.
But if you see them kind of overtake,
yeah,
like they're indicating overtake, and they're starting to come round, you back the speed off,
yeah,
get them round quicker,
yes,
and then maintain, go back to where you'll sit, lock on your speed, and
fabulous.
Happy days.
Happy days indeed. Jason Stanley, thank you so much for your time today.
No worries.
I'm going to wind this up, listeners. Now, Jason, as I said, he's the mechanic / driver for Inland Petroleum, the major sponsor here at the Trengy Truck and Tractor Show. Drives a 30-metre, 90-tonne rig. Good luck to that, my friend. You can have that on your own. Going to wind this up now. What sort of Aussie song can I play for you?
Put a bit of Jimmy Barnes, Driving Wheels.
Driving Wheels. Good song selection, because that's what you do. How many wheels are on that rig?
Oh, I don't want to know.
You don't want to know? Too many to count. All right, listeners, stick around for more Roman Oz straight after Jimmy Barnes' Driving Wheels.
If you've just joined us, listeners, my name is Phil C. This is Roaming Oz. And the next segment is Jeff DF. How are you today, Jeff?
I'm very well, Phil. Thank you very much for asking.
Oh, mate, fabulous to have you back on the program. Listeners, if you're just new to the program, Jeff DF has a business called Check Weight. And he's the man you need to speak to. Or if you want to go onto his website, let's talk about that for a moment. Jeff, you got this fabulous website, www.checkweight.com.au. What can they find out if they just go onto there briefly?
Oh, well, we've got a lot of interesting and free information on our Checkweight website.
Yes.
We've got our blog articles, which I haven't written one for a few months, but it'll be updated soon.
Mm-hmm.
And but we've got about a dozen blog articles that we've written,
mm-hmm.
And mostly relating to weight,
mm-hmm.
And tips and things, so you can read through those.
Yes.
We also have our explanation of all the caravan weight terminology, so mm-hmm. all the acronyms.
Yes.
GVM, APM, GCM.
Yep.
And you can get that for free. There's a little orange button right at the top right of the website called Free Report.
Yes.
Put your email in there and it automatically sends it to you on a PDF.
Right.
So that means you can actually print it or save it, and it's legible, not like a JPEG on Facebook.
Fabulous.
So the other thing we do have as well is our course, which mm-hmm. is an online course where
right.
I talk in depth about weights and the acronyms, loading, unloading, and it's a one shop for all to know about the caravan weights and vehicle weights.
Okay.
And you can access that through our website or through the button on your own website.
Okay. And that course, of course, that's not a freebie. They have to pay for that one, but it's very reasonably priced.
Yeah, it's only $97.
Yep.
There's around 40 minutes of video of myself and my wife, Jules, talking with real-life caravans.
Yes.
And then there's a whole heap of PDF downloads that you can download and keep.
Yep.
And you get to watch the videos for 6 months.
Fabulous.
So, a lot of time, especially if you've, you're new to caravanning or thinking of buying a caravan. I've actually had feedback that there's saved thousands of dollars in not making a wrong decision.
Fabulous.
So pretty good feedback there.
Cheap investment, listeners, if you are thinking of buying a caravan, okay, maybe this is the place you should start, Check Weight. And Mr. Jeff DF. Now, what are we going to discuss today, Jeff?
Okay, this one's going to be a bit complicated and a bit technical.
Right. Okay.
So I'll try and keep it as simple as I can.
Okay.
So please pick me up if it's sounding a little bit too technical.
Right.
This is something that I've seen, in the 500, 600 caravans that I've weighed, and it's taken me a long time to get my head around.
Right.
So on your compliance plate, and it took, and there is a bit more information in one of my blog articles about compliance plates.
Okay.
But this one I want to talk to you relates to what we call the ball loading at TMS.
Okay.
So on your compliance plate, you'll have a TMS.
Yes.
And you have your APM and GTM ratings,
mm-hmm.
but they'll have ball loading at TAR.
Right.
Now, this is somewhat misleading for a lot of people because they'll go, so the ball is 100 kilos or 130. That means I can tow it with this vehicle, which has a maximum of X.
Yes.
But what it's telling you isn't what the maximum ball is. It's telling you what it was when it was empty at manufacture.
Yes.
Now, only yesterday I weighed two different caravans, one after the other, and they were both completely different. The first caravan I weighed was a single axle. It had a TMS of 1910 kilograms, so manufactured.
Yep.
Had an ATM of 2300.
Uh-huh.
So that means it's got a payload of around 390 kilos.
Right.
But the ball loading at TAR was 100 kilos.
Right.
So that's around 5% of the TMS of the caravan.
Okay.
So the guy loaded the caravan up, and he was actually just over. But he still had a very light tow ball.
Uh-huh.
So because the tow ball at TAR was so low, you need to be really careful that you use the storage at the front of the caravan to make sure that your tow ball weight when loaded
yep.
is around that 10% of your GPM.
Okay.
Because as we've talked about before, the lower your tow ball weight, the more likely a caravan is to sway at a lower speed.
Okay. At a lower speed. At a lower speed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if your tow ball weight is too light,
yep,
the caravan may be stable at 90 but not stable at 100K.
Okay, okay.
But we can't tell you what speed that is. It's yep. only you only find out it's, you know, when you're driving.
When it starts to happen.
And most single axle caravans, you know, I would tend to recommend, you know, 10.5 is better than 9.5.
Okay.
Okay. The issue this guy had was that he was slightly over. You know, not incredibly over. Mm-hmm. So anything he removed is actually going to make the tow ball lighter. So he needs to actually move things from the ensuite cupboards forward when he's travelling to get more weight on his tow ball.
Okay. So what he didn't have a tow, he didn't, this particular fellow wouldn't have had a toolbox or something that he could have loaded stuff into that to give him that heavier, what was
he had a tunnel boot and a couple of gas bottles on the front.
Yes.
But, yeah, look, in, you know, being a fairly low payload mm-hmm. in a caravan,
yep.
you know, once you put water and gas and things like that in there,
yep.
You know, you've used half your payload already.
Yes.
So he didn't really have a lot of stuff in it.
Okay.
So, yeah, just getting that loaded correctly mm-hmm. can be a bit of a challenge.
Okay. Okay.
Now, the second caravan I weighed, right. and it was directly after at the same place, was the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a dual axle caravan. It had a tear weight of 2,089 kilograms.
Right.
An ATM of 2,639, and I know there's a lot of figures here,
yep.
but it gave him a payload of 550 kilos. However, with this caravan, he'd ordered it with a toolbox
yep.
And a slide out in the tunnel boot.
Okay.
So they'd added a considerable weight. And his ball loading at tear was 204 kilograms.
Okay.
So that was 9.7%. So that's brand new.
Mm.
Out of the lot, his tow ball is 9.7.
Mm-hmm.
So do you see where I'm going here?
Yes.
As soon as he put anything in his toolbox,
yep.
in the tunnel booth,
yep.
he had a tow ball weight of 14.5%.
Wow. Okay.
Now, some vehicles may be able to cope with that.
Yep.
But he was tying with a Mitsubishi Triton.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've discussed it before, and I'll ask you the question, Phil. If you put 100 kilos in your tunnel boot,
yes.
how much is that going to put on the tow ball? If you've got 100 kilos on your tow ball, how much is that putting on your rear axle?
It affected it by as much as 150, didn't it? So he's putting 250
right.
on his rear axle.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he ended up with a tow ball weight of 300 kilos.
Okay.
Even though the weight of his caravan was only 2,200. So he had all this storage at the front.
Yes.
That he actually can't use.
Can't use it. Wow.
Because he can't fill it up because his tow ball weight is too high.
So was the issue with his tow ball, or was the issue then with that weight being transferred onto his rear axle?
Well, both.
Both.
Because with the Triton, he had a maximum of 310.
Okay.
That he was allowed.
Yes.
So he was already 300 and hadn't fully loaded. It was a newish van.
Wow.
So he had water in it and some stuff in it.
Uh-huh.
But it, you know, he'd only been on one trip, one or two trips.
Yep.
So, you know, he was looking at, you know, well, can he buy bikes or could he, you know, take other things?
Yep.
So bikes on a bike rack at the front were definitely out.
Yep.
Because it would just add too much weight
yes.
to the front.
Yes, yes.
And then we took a bit out of the toolbox and I showed him how to adjust the tow ball weight.
Yep.
And then when he hooked it back up to the Triton, he said, you know, like it's just sitting higher at the back already.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, just by moving that little bit away.
Because mm-hmm.
Interestingly, the Triton, he only had a small toolbox in the back. He didn't have a lot in the back.
Yep.
So it was sitting pretty high anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But with the 300 tow ball, it was a lot of weight on that rear axle. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So it's a confusing area, isn't it? Because I mean, me personally, I look at tear weight, I do understand it, but I'm assuming that a lot of people would look at tear weight and go, "Oh, well, that doesn't mean anything. Who cares what the tear weight is? It's what it weighs when I fill it up with water, fill it up with gas, fill it up with food, and that's what I need to focus on." But what you're in fact saying is, no, you really do have to look at this tear weight as well.
So, yeah, so the tear weight in combination with the ball loading at tear.
Mm.
Yeah, so what percentage? And you'll see a lot of caravan magazines when they review a caravan. Mm-hmm. They'll give you the percentage.
Yes.
And I used to always think that that's a bit misleading. Yep. But it is an indication, and I'll just say an indication, of how heavy the caravan is or how light the caravan is at mm-hmm. the front.
Yep.
So, and what you then need to do is look at the design of the caravan and say, where is the storage?
Yes.
So in actual fact, I have weighed a few, you know, this is going back some time, quite an expensive caravan, that it was a slide-out.
Okay.
And it had a low tow ball weight at tear, and it had minimal storage at the front. In actual fact, the tunnel boot or the front boot had a maximum sticker of 50 kilograms in there.
Okay.
So they weren't allowed to put more than 50 kilograms. And all the storage was under the bed, which in a slide out is behind the axle, and back cupboards. So there was no way in the wide world that this guy could actually get a decent tow ball weight with this quite expensive caravan. So it was unusable. It used to sway all over the road, and he'd had it about 18 months when I weighed it, and only used it once.
Wow.
Because he was having a bit of a fight. So understanding the design of the caravan and where you're going to put your weight, and look, I acknowledge it's pretty hard. I've weighed a lot of caravans, and it's taken me a little while to get my head around. So it's not a very simple question to ask.
Yes. So, wow. What? I'm a bit speechless on this one, and I never get short of words. you've blown me away with this, because I really thought the tear weight doesn't really mean anything, because it's what you want to focus on is what it's going to weigh when it's fully weighed, when it's fully loaded and everything. But no, it is an extremely important thing. I mean, this particular one you're talking about, the fellow had it 18 months, he'd used it once. Was that a van that he had designed? Because what I'm seeing more and more of, people designing the inside of the van, they go, oh, yeah, look, I love the van. I love the way it looks. It's beautiful, but I want to put my cupboards here, not there. I want to switch the bed around for east-west and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, the manufacturers do anything to make you happy and to sell you the van. This particular one you're talking about, this really, really expensive van, did that come out of the workshop that way? Was it badly designed, or was it designed by the customer and that's why he was having so many issues?
I think there's a combination of two things there. He did get bunk beds added to the caravan.
Right.
So which normally it wasn't a bunk van.
Right.
You know, it was only a two berth.
Yep.
Which increased the rear overhang slightly, which made it heavier.
Yes.
And also, yeah, then they had put more cupboards in the back, which made it heavier.
Okay.
So, yeah, look, it was a combination. But ultimately, you know, when you're designing or you're trying to get a manufacturer to change the design of the caravan,
yes,
I think you really need to understand the ramifications of what you're doing. And, you know, I think we've spoken about this before. You know, little changes can make a massive difference
okay.
to the balance of the
yeah.
caravan.
Yeah. So, is it who do you feel would be responsible for this? Then the guy who the customer who said I want to put bunks in there, or the manufacturer saying, well, hang on, if we put bunks in there, it's going to give you a bigger overhang, and you're going to have no space at the front, and you're going to have this really low tow ball weight. Now we have to really think this out, because obviously this poor chap's bought this van. He's had it 18 months and used it once. It's almost untowable. And so who do you feel, the owner or the builder?
Well, I think ultimately the manufacturer needs to take the responsibility because, they're the people with the design experience.
Yes.
Unfortunately, though, I think what happens is, you know, if a caravan, you know, it's not the designer who you're buying it from. So you go to a salesperson and he says, you know, you say, well, I want bunks at the back and I want an extra wheel at the back. And that guy says, yeah, no worries, we can do that.
Yes.
And then it goes off to be designed and it gets changed.
Yep.
And no one flags that this caravan is now potentially unusable. So I think the manufacturers and the dealers have a responsibility and a duty of care.
Okay.
However, I also think the consumer needs to be taking a bit more responsibility and say, well, yeah, they build caravans like this for a reason.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a caravan where they wanted the bunks at the front, and it just upset the whole balance of the caravan.
Wow.
And he, you know, it just made it too light at the front, so he had bikes and everything at the front.
Mm-hmm.
But then he ended up having storage at the front that he, sorry, storage at the back that he couldn't use because it made it too light. So yeah, you've really got to be responsible, but. I don't know who is ultimately responsible. I think the lack of – I mean, if you went to, you know, Isuzu and said, you know, I want 3 feet extra on the back of my tray.
Yes.
They wouldn't do it.
No, no.
Because they know the ramifications of it.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, in caravan manufacturing, those sorts of design problems should be fixed.
Yeah.
You know? And they should be saying no. No, you can't do that because. But then if the consumer goes down the road and then buys one off somebody who says yes,
yep.
Well, then ultimately it's their fault too, isn't it?
Yep, I think so. So I think at the end of the day, leave the design to the people who design them because that's what they do and the manufacturers who build them. And if you do decide you want to personalise the caravan for your own design or for your own needs, be very aware of the consequences of what could happen once the manufacturer has made it to your design, that it may have issues down the line that you may have overlooked.
Very good point. I mean, you know, one of the first things that a lot of, you know, caravanners do is, oh, we'll put a box on the front for more tools, or we'll put a box on the back for a generator, or we'll do this. So be very careful because it is changing the stability and the dynamics of the car.
Absolutely. All right. Well, another lesson learnt there, listeners. If you do want to design your own caravan, make sure you think about it and make sure you ask the questions of the builders, not just so much the salesman, but just say, hey, is this going to affect the weight? And if they go, I'm not really sure, well, then maybe you should get in touch with the factory and figure it out before you have it built. That's my advice anyway. All right there, okay, Jeff. So yeah, go on.
No worries.
What
I was just going to say, it is pretty technical, so hopefully if anybody's got any questions, please go on my website and contact me by email.
There you go. Listeners, go on to the website. That's checkweight.com.au. His name is Jeff DF, and he will give you all his professional advice before you could find yourself spending an awful lot of money for something that could become an awfully big headache. So, what are we going to play for you today, mate? We've got to brighten this up now. That's very serious stuff there. Have we got a good track we can finish up with?
Well, you know, it's something when you've been travelling for a long time, then sometimes this is what you want. Crowded house. Better be home soon.
You know what? My other half is like that. I absolutely love travelling, Jeff, and I could permanently be on the road because Australia is a beautiful country and there's so many things to see and do and there's always just that little bit further to go down the road. But usually after about 3 months, my other half, my dear lady, is saying, you know what, I'm feeling a bit over this. We better be home soon. And, you know, you said it earlier, happy wife, happy life. So that's what we do. We turn around and get home soon.
Okay, well, we'll dedicate this one to Lynn then.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jeff. Jeff DF, listeners from Checkweight, we're going to be back with more Roaming Oz straight after this song, Better Be Home Soon by Crowded House. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Thanks, Phil. Travel safe.
Somewhere deep inside, something's got a hold on you. And it's pushing me aside. See it stretch on forever. And I know I'm right. For the first time in my life, that's why I tell you, you'd better be home soon. Back the cold. cause me pain if we were to end it. But I could start again. You can't depend on it.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page or allaussieradio.com.au.
Tune in next week for more Roman Oz.